from the mind of the sapient simian. This is Nobody's Prodigy. Free-range ideas from beyond the box. This is the Sapient Simian, and welcome to Nobody's Prodigy, episode 37. An episode I'm going to call The Bias Bias. Now, as a product of my times, I have learned few thoughts are as harmful to society as a whole than those of prejudice, bias, or preconception. From a young age, I've been taught to disavow any hint of a thought I was told can constitute bias on pains of having it grow into full-blown racism, xenophobia, or bigotry. Yet, as I have aged, I've come to realize not only the inevitability of bias, but also its utility in a world full of unpredictable situations and possibly dangerous scenarios. Now, I want to start this episode by saying first and foremost that I do not advocate racism. I think that racism, as it pertains to bias, is the number one worst thing that can develop out of this. And I think that it is important to say that first and foremost, that when I speak of bias in terms of something that is natural and something that develops, that I am not saying in any way that racism is something that is good or something that should be held on to. I believe that all developed biases, if they're not examined, can become seriously flawed. I believe that the individual, all of us as individuals, have a capacity to develop a bias in our daily lives based upon our experiences, but that it's incumbent upon all of us to look at those biases and ask ourselves what they're built upon and what those situations they're built upon actually were and were actually caused by. Because when we develop a bias, it is generally built around a certain situation, a certain scenario, a certain individual. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll choose the wrong aspects of that scenario to focus on. We may decide that it's a certain location or a certain race of person or a certain kind of person, and we'll hang all of our presumptions upon that as the reason for that particular action happening or not happening, when in fact it may be something else, something that we've missed. It may be some socioeconomic situation. It may be some particular time of year or a particular gathering of people in an area based on something that we are not aware of. And in these situations, the biases that we develop could be built upon the wrong signals. And in those cases, they would end up being incorrect. And an incorrect bias is not helpful. It's not useful. And it's important to realize that every person develops these biases, because anyone who claims to have no bias at all is only fooling themselves. Bias is a natural outcome of a person's experiences as they go through their life, and it's something that we all gather and we all develop. But it's also important to realize that biases pertain to many different things, not just to people. You can have biases about particular kinds of food. You can have biases about particular brands of car. You can have biases about particular areas of the city or particular kinds of clothing. And they don't always go down to a particular race of person or a particular socioeconomic status. A lot of times you can have biases about a certain type of tool or type of instrument that you may have gotten at one point and it didn't perform well. For example, as an artist, if I get a certain kind of paints that are not good for me, that do not behave well when I'm trying to paint something, I may develop a bias against that brand, against that specific color. And when I go to buy those paints again, I may decide that I don't want anything to do with that brand, even if it's not buying those paints, even if it's some other kind of art supply. I may decide I don't approve of that brand. The one experience I had with that brand was not satisfactory, so therefore I presume that other things that they make are not satisfactory, and it may well be the case. They may be a lower quality provider. But the important thing is that I am prejudging that brand on items that I have not bought based on one experience that I had with one thing that I did buy. And that is a bias. That is a prejudice. That is a prejudging. I am judging the things that I have not bought before I've actually bought them based on an experience that I had in my past. And that is prejudice. That is a prejudging. And of course, prejudice is a shameful word. It's something that we have been taught to be ashamed of admitting to be ashamed of using. And yet, it is a factual word. It has an actual definition in the dictionary, and it has an actual definition as it is that we need to learn to understand and to admit to, because there are situations in which it happens and is just simply factually true, aside from the dangerous and unfortunate situations in which it can arise. Because the thing is, we have prejudices all the time. We presume things all the time. And we're taught to presume things all the time. We are taught to act as if all guns are loaded when we handle them. And that's a good thing. We are taught to act as if the eyes on a stove are hot and not touch them. As children, we're taught that that's just a good idea. And if we don't believe that, we usually will have some sort of a negative experience that will back that up and will support that in the way that teaches us from then forward that it's a good idea to judge the likelihood that the eye on the stove is hot even before we have touched it, to prejudge, to have prejudice when it comes to the stove that it is hot without actually touching it. Of course, we're also taught things like we're taught to presume that someone in a room with a door closed would prefer for us to knock before we open the door. That is a matter of what we would call being polite, but at the same time, we don't know that that's the case. We don't know that the person in there actually wants that to be the case, and yet we presume. We have a judgment, we have a bias toward behaving as if that is the case, even when it's not. We also have biases that someone in a room full of people doesn't approve of the use of foul language. We have a prejudice toward avoiding that use. In a sense, we have a prejudice toward using that language because we presume that someone in that room will be insulted by it, and even if we are not personally insulted by it, a lot of times we will become up in arms around the use of it because we presume that someone somewhere may actually be insulted by it. I've been in situations where I will be scolded by someone who actually doesn't mind the use of foul language because they presume that someone in the room might actually not approve, and therefore they are reacting to that in a situation where they themselves would not react because they are simply assuming that someone somewhere is having a negative reaction and is not choosing to act out because, in an odd way, they are presuming that speaking up for them would be something that they presume they would not be able to do. So you have this odd circle of biases, of prejudices, in that they are assuming that someone who doesn't approve of foul language probably also doesn't approve of people telling other people to not do something. So, you know, it's an interesting kind of circle in that way. And of course, in other ways, you presume that, for example, pregnant women don't want their stomach to be touched. A lot of women that I know that have become pregnant, my sisters-in-law and that kind of thing, have made it abundantly clear to me after the fact that they do not like people touching their stomachs. And it was something that I had never particularly thought about, but it's something that is actually something I have had reinforced after the fact, but it was something that I presumed ahead of time. It was a prejudice that I presumed ahead of time. And all of these things are judgments made before asking to know for sure. Many are built upon bad experiences of the past, but many are also built upon presumptions about a person based upon social norms or upon various inferences made about people that you don't know anything about based on culture or otherwise the experiences that you have had with other people that may be nothing like the people that you're assuming these things about. And even acts of what you would think of as being non-biased are presumptive and are therefore acts of prejudice. Even people that would like to think of themselves as being entirely non-prejudiced behave in ways that assume that the actions they're taking are actions that a non-prejudiced person would take. So in that way, they're acting in a way that is prejudging a situation and prejudging what activities a person would prefer for them to do. One good example of this is the way that people will treat people that have handicaps or disabilities. A lot of times, people that would think of themselves as being non-biased and unprejudiced will treat people with handicaps and disabilities in a way that they think of as being more accommodating, more helpful, or more friendly. And the people that they're helping, the disabled people, a lot of times react negatively to that behavior, even though they think of that behavior as being helpful or as being acting out in a non-biased way, and as a way of showing that they do not see them as a lesser individual. Their actions actually constitute behavior that the disabled person has a negative reaction to, because the disabled person wants to be treated just like any other person. In a sense, the disabled person wants to be treated in a way that is not biased and that is not prejudiced, and the person that likes to think of themselves as not being prejudiced is treating them in a way that is biased and treating them in a way that is prejudiced, even though it is in their mind a positive sort of prejudice. So that is a good example of the way that someone who likes to think of themselves as being devoid of prejudice may actually be doing the exact opposite. But the fact of the matter is, assessing situations and people and then choosing how to behave is a natural thing to do. It's a healthy thing to do, and it's a useful thing to do. It keeps you safe. And generally speaking, the sorts of decisions that you make in those situations are the result of past mistakes. Careful training is required to ensure fair and unbiased delivery. And this sort of training is something that we've developed, and it's something that continues to be developed over time. And this sort of training requires rules, oversight, and editing. And this is why it requires schooling. This is why journalists go to school. This is why there are classes given on this, and this is why there are tests given, and there are pass or fail tests where you actually have to work to rewrite your articles, rewrite your scripts, rewrite all of the things that you do in such a way to remove the bias and the prejudice that may be within them. And these sorts of policing, these sorts of editing and oversight is vitally important when the person presenting the information is in certain positions of trust. People like teachers or leaders, people that are in the news or otherwise are presenting information, need to make sure that their information is unbiased. And even parents themselves need to strive to present information in as fair and unbiased a way as they can, because they're presenting it to people that do not necessarily have the history to call upon and the knowledge to call upon to make judgment calls one way or the other as far as the correctness of the information they're presenting. So in a way, they are given the reins of knowing what's right or wrong from people who would not otherwise know what's right or wrong. And in those situations, it's important that they take ownership of that position and are careful to make sure that the things that they present actually are correct. And the crux of the training that is required for these situations should always recognize that bias exists and that it must be accounted for. Any presentation that claims it's completely free from bias in any way has failed to see it to begin with, because only through recognition and adaptation of the inherent bias can we strive for the balance that is the ultimate goal of any presentation. Even then, as listeners, we should try to learn to recognize any bias in the material and use it to judge the situation one way or another. Because even the very best presentations that have been most carefully scrutinized will occasionally stray into a type of bias one way or another. Oftentimes, they are at risk most of all of straying into the overly accommodating bias, into being so careful to eradicate their bias that they actually go too far to one side and become too biased in the other direction. Which is to say that when you are trying to eradicate what is your natural bias, a lot of times in striving to do that, you will actually go too far beyond it. You will forget that your own bias is built upon some modicum of actual fact, something that's actually correct to begin with. All of life is a matter of assessing others and assessing situations in search of useful truth. And only the naive are truly unbiased. Only the innocent and fools are capable of assessing a situation in a way that's completely unbiased. And this is a situation that cuts both ways. They can actually understand a situation without bias, but they understand a situation without any history or without any knowledge to call upon also. So in a way, that one moment they are assessing it without bias, but from that moment forward, every single experience that they have with anything even remotely similar to that experience will be based and built upon that single experience alone because they have no other data points on which to refer. So in a sense, that particular moment only ever exists for that one instant. After that point, they then become the maximum amount of biased because they only have a single incident upon which to base all of their opinions from that point forward. And any knowledge or experience starts the path toward true understanding, but we must move toward wisdom as we continue forward. Because the difference between knowledge and wisdom is the development of an understanding through experience. This is why I think that as you get older, you actually develop more understanding through the development of more experience. The problem is that this development of wisdom in one particular area does not carry over to every single area. And it doesn't take into account the particular grouping of experiences that one particular individual may have. One particular type of older individual may have a multitude of experiences to draw upon to build their opinion on, but they may not recognize that those experiences are all colored by happening at a specific time or among a specific group of people, or otherwise in a specific way that causes their opinion and their prejudice and their bias to be colored because they didn't have an experience that was sufficiently broad to develop the kind of overarching understanding that would be required to actually get a more complete understanding. And this is where I think a lot of times we all have family members that are older family members that have ample experience to call upon, but they develop these opinions and biases about people or clothing or parts of town that are what we would consider to be xenophobic or racist or otherwise, because in their mind, they're all built upon true experience, but they fail to understand that those experiences were colored by external factors, particular times, particular types of social environments or particular types of external forces that they didn't happen to recognize or take into account. By the same token, our looking upon their information and making a judgment call that it is or is not valid is based upon a certain amount of judgment within ourselves. A lot of times I know that I have heard and found it to be true that older people will point to the opinions of younger people as thinking they know what they're talking about when they don't. And a lot of times, the things that we as younger people like to scoff at about older people, as far as them saying, you can't trust this, or you can't go there, I would never do this or that, we like to scoff at them for that when we are young and they're old. And yet, as we grow older, we come to realize that there's actually truth in those statements, and we eventually learn to realize that we should have listened to those things. that as much as we thought they were silly things to have said, that there actually is a lot of truth in those things. The worst thing prejudice can do to us is to stop us from experiencing new good things and meeting new wonderful people out of fear or hesitation built upon a past. We could acknowledge the realities of past experiences while also choosing to remain open to new opportunities, just as we can hear the messages behind the fears in others if we learn to parse the words with wisdom. And I think that's really the key. I think that's the overarching message of this particular podcast, which is to say that biases exist. Biases are something you're not going to get away from. And biases are something that instead of running from, you're better off acknowledging, seeing, and taking into account. If you learn instead to recognize them in yourself and in others, and not to fear them, but to simply set them to one side and look beyond them, a lot of times you can find wisdom beneath the surface because you yourself have biases. Everyone has biases. Everyone has prejudices. And they're not necessarily always a bad thing. And honestly, if they are well thought through, well dissected, and well analyzed, there are biases and prejudices that are helpful and good things to keep in mind. There are biases and prejudices around objects and places and times and actions that are just good things to keep in mind. In a way, all of polite society, all of good manners, all of healthy activities and smart moves to make are on some level based upon a bias or a prejudice. And if you understand that, and if you can understand that those things are true, you can learn to recognize better when they are useful, and hopefully to recognize better when they don't actually pertain to the situation. If you can learn to recognize when they don't pertain, and learn to open your eyes and see what the differences are, not only can you develop a better understanding of when it is that those things are useful, but you may actually find even better things to guide you in future when it comes to dealing with new and unusual situations that may arise later on. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I wanted to try to do a slightly shorter episode and address what could be a little bit of a hairy issue just because of the use of terms that I know that people can be a little sensitive around. But it's something that I think that we need to embrace. It's something that I think that we need to understand and not simply be afraid of and to deny. I think that we all do better if we understand that these things happen. And more importantly, I think that we all do better if we understand that through training and through a group assessment and careful editing, we can try to erase these things when they are necessary, but we can also choose to embrace these things when they're helpful. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I appreciate all of you guys for coming along. Hopefully that was interesting and unusual in the sense that it delves into a topic that I don't know that you would hear other places. And that's one thing I do try to do on this podcast. So anyway, thank you for coming along and continuing to listen. I will continue striving to make a good episode each and every week and try to come up with good topics as we move along. So I look forward to having you all come with me, and thanks again for listening. All right, bye. If you're enjoying the show and would like to help me feed myself, keep the lights on, and continue making episodes, direct PayPal donations and other inquiries can be sent to thesapientsimeon@gmail.com. That's thesapientsimeon@gmail.com. I do have a Patreon page, also under The Sapient Simeon, where you can get exclusive access to view my other work from years past. Paintings, designs, projects, and experiments seen nowhere else. With your help, I can maintain the show as a commercial-free broadcast we all can enjoy, but a key part in that process is reaching out to encourage me and show your appreciation. In the meantime, I would like to thank you for listening and doing what you can to help share my work with others. Until next time, stay curious.